Okay, so we are starting on a Bible study that says, titled, What to Leave Behind for Those Left Behind. So we'll have, when we're all done and we've all went over it, we've all settled on certain major points, I can make it into a booklet and we can give it to you all so you all can place them around wherever you think you might need to. So as we get into this, what's the very first thing that we should have in our paper, in our left behind book?
What, you know, the whole Bible?
Well, you can't put the whole Bible in.
A prayer.
A prayer.
To make sure that they know that it's not some scientific experiment.
Okay.
To love the God with all your heart and all your soul, and let those teachings so your children.
You're getting a little closer.
An explanation as to what happened.
Where are you born after you die?
Specific direction. Where your state is.
Nah, I don't think they're going to worry too much about that because your estate's probably going to become worthless. Yep. Actually, all right, that's it. Everybody get a paper out and write down 500 times. The first thing I want those that I leave behind to know is the plan of
salvation.
You have to be able to tell them how to get saved. That is the most important thing they need to know. They really don't need to know what happened, why it happened. We're going to tell them that. But the very first thing they need to have in their hand is a plan of salvation. So that has to be step one in that book. So there are several different plans of salvation or ways of saying a plan of salvation, way of giving somebody a plan of salvation. The one that we use in our brochure is the ABCs of salvation. Anybody know what the ABCs are?
Safety.
Goodness gracious. Okay.
I need my book.
There you go. Close there, Joe, but not quite.
Smile has it.
She have it in her book?
No, she knows it.
She knows it? Okay,
what is it? It's like, admit that you're a sinner.
Well, it's commit. So A is admit you're a sinner who needs to be saved. This is the most direct one. Believe that Jesus died for you and rose again. You don't have to. I'll give it to you later. And then C was commit to accepting Christ as Savior and Lord. So the verses that go along with that are part of the Roman Road. We're going to look at the Roman Road, so we will. I'll give you the references if you're writing it down. Admit is Romans 3:23. Believe is Romans 10:9. And then commit is Romans 10:10 and 13. Now that is the most concise one I know. The Romans Road is probably the most famous one people know. The Romans Road is walking through Romans in a way that demonstrates people need God. So we will read them this time. So if you're going to start with the Romans Road, you start at Romans 3:10. And who wants to read Romans 3:10?
As it is written, there is none righteous, none but one.
All right, so there you go. Then the next one is Romans 3:23. And then the last one is Romans 6:23.
The wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
There you go. So those are the basic ones. The first one, there is no one righteous, means nobody, right? There's nobody that's righteous. The second one is all of us have sinned and all of us fall short of the glory of God. So once that you have somebody in the mindset that they understand they have sinned or that they are a sinner, that all of us are, then they need to understand what the wages of sin is, which is death, and what Christ offers instead is eternal life. That's the biggest part of the Romans Road. There he goes on. It picks up in Romans 5:8. This is considered the second point in Romans Road, or the second part. Romans 5:8.
But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Yeah, so while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for people who weren't even following him yet. He died for people he knew would not be following him. So the sinner's response to that is in Romans 10, 9 and 10 and 13.
If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
All right, so that is the sinner's response, is what that would be. Once a person realizes they're a sinner, they need to call on God. And once they call on God, God will save them. You don't really want to break down into a long theology dissertation about what this all meant. You still want to keep it simple. You don't want to bore them to death with details before they make the decision. The end of the Romans Road is Romans 5, 1 and 2.
Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand as rejoice in the hope of the glory of God.
All right, and then Romans 8, 1.
There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Jesus Christ.
All right, so that's good enough. That's the first part of that verse is all we need. So that's the Romans Road. But you see, it's longer. It's much longer. It's much more informative also. But it does walk you through Romans, and it tells you how to get to the end. In the book, we could do either one of those, or there's one more we're going to look at real quick. We could follow it up with a prayer that they could say, but they have to understand they have to mean the prayer. They can't just, the prayer is not a magic anything. Incantation is. Right. That comes from the heart. So the other one we're going to look at, is Bill Faye's Share Jesus Without Fear. I don't think this one fits the book very well, honestly. It's great for one-on-one conversations, but not for somebody to read, necessarily. He has five key questions. Do you have any kind of spiritual belief? Do you, who is Jesus? Do you believe there's a heaven and a hell? If you die right now, where would you go and why? And if what you believe were not true, would you want to know? Those are the questions that you need to ask people. And again, he goes through Romans 3:23 and 6:23. He uses John 3:3, which says, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. And then John 14:6. Who can tell me what John 14:6 says? I'll look it up.
I am the way, the truth, and the life. Anybody comes to the Father except for me.
Very good, Bobby. Gold star for Bobby back there. That's one a lot of people memorize. That's why I ask. Then he does Romans 10, 9 through 11, which we read. He does 2 Corinthians 5, 15. Somebody wants to look that up. 2 Corinthians 5, 15.
Now that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again.
All right, and then he sums it up with Revelation 3, 20. So there you go. There's the share Jesus without fear version, which is really good if you are dealing with somebody face to face. Might not, the verses we can go through and make our own, as long as we cover all the bases correctly. It doesn't have to be anything in particular. But you want something that they are going to be able to understand quickly. And I think they'll probably be in a frame of mind in the immediate aftermath to be looking for some answers. I think if we wait, if it takes them 6 months to find the booklet, it might not be very effective because they'll be pretty busy at that point. Life's going to get hectic. So we need to make sure that if it's a family member we're leaving this for, that they know where to go to find it. Or you give them one and say, look, if I ever just disappear with a bunch of other people one day, you should really should read this because it's going to help you out. You read it now if you want to, but you definitely need it if I disappear and you didn't disappear with me. Do something like that. We are not going to attack when. We're not going to discuss pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, no rapture. We're not even going to get into that. And this is strictly for whenever a bunch of people disappear from the earth. All the Christians are going. So that will be the first section of the book. That's where the booklet is. That'll be the first thing that people will come up to. Then we need to actually explain what. What would you explain next? Because I could be wrong. What would you have to explain to somebody who was left behind now that you've explained to them the plan of salvation?
And I imagine what they're going to hear is what there's some scientific.
Right. You're going to want to explain exactly what happened, what took place, why you are not standing there. Explaining this book to them. So the first thing you're going to have to tell them about is the rapture. 1 Thessalonians 4. 16 through 18. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 18. First Thessalonians 4, 16 through 18.
For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words.
Now, when I copied that over, I was thinking maybe we shouldn't put 18 on there. That's the comfort for us. We will not be here. They're there. Yes, sir. What do you got?
So, when it says that those that with them in the clouds meet the Lord here, is that our whole body? Is that our soul? Is the body left behind as just a piece of blob?
Yeah.
Turns to dust? Or what exactly is the interpretation you should be looking at?
Well, the Bible says, I can't remember where, Paul wrote, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So Our soul is in heaven. What we have left behind is our physical body.
Okay, that's right.
Whether it's been cremated or eaten by sharks or just laying in a grave somewhere or laying lost in the woods somewhere, it doesn't matter. What's that?
Our bodies are going.
Yeah, the bodies are going into rapture. We will meet our bodies in the rapture. But they are changed in the twinkling of an eye from the corruptible to the incorruptible is what the Bible says. That won't pertain to them so much because they missed that. That's why it's not included here. But I don't have any problem with questions for that.
No, okay. Their body's gone. Is our body, or whoever is taken at that time, is the body going to be left behind? The physical body.
You know, now you're answering a question nobody knows.
Okay.
They believe.
So there is a chance that something could be left behind.
No, okay. At the rapture, no. You will not leave something because if you're alive, walking the earth when the rapture happens, you'll be snatched and your body will be made incorruptible. You'll have a perfect body in the air. By the time you meet Christ in that twinkling of an eye, your body will be there with you. For anybody who's died before, their body will not be there with them. Their body has to come up out of the ground and catch, meet up with them or wherever it is. Ours will just be here on earth, you know.
If it happened right now, there wouldn't be any physical evidence of
us. Actually, Ray, everything you, all your clothes, your watch, your glasses, your dental fillings, anything that you were not born with gets left right here. Yeah. It'll all be sitting there in a pile. There was there's a story about a church where the youth pastor went up and got to the bathroom and everybody from a business meeting. And everybody set a bunch of clothes on the where they were sitting and left. Just to mess with him, but he came back in. So I don't know if it's a true story. It would be funny to do to somebody. So and he came back, he's off the rapture. So you won't take anything that is man made with you. Whatever, if you have a ball and socket in your hip that's man-made, it's sitting there on the table. All flesh and blood will be gone, but the beast will just be sitting there perfectly clean. Whatever you have is left behind that you were not born with. When you meet Jesus in the air, your body is a perfect body. And it'll be with you forever. Which leads to my joke all the time. I don't know how we're going to tell each other apart. We're all going to look like me. So, not true at all. But anyway, that's just how that works.
So, at that point, are we cognitive of what's going on Earth?
What do we know about Earth in heaven?
We're not going to care. We're too busy praising God.
Well, if we were to die naturally, if we wound up in heaven due to death, we probably wouldn't care. I believe where we go into Revelation 4, and John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, was him being raptured. He was transported in time to the rapture, and he was raptured. And he writes down everything he sees. And there's a lot happening. Because that's when, right after the rapture, is when the seal. Well,
is that what he sees or what God let him see?
Well, he was there to witness. So he witnessed what was going on in heaven, which we will witness the exact same thing, and we'll all be saying, oh, that's what that meant. Why didn't John just say so? No, we'll understand it a whole lot better when we get there. But no, we will all be witnessing what John describes in the Revelation, which is very closely tied to what is going on Earth. Will we be able to see loved ones? I doubt it. I don't think we'll be able to hone in like God can and see individuals. We will know. We'll have the newscast of what's going on Earth. Death just rode out the gate, and it's going to be bad. A third of the people are going to die, and there's, yeah, whatever's going on, we're going to know. Probably not see. But prior to the rapture, anybody who's died before, they're probably not concerned at all. Because time doesn't move the same in heaven. There is no time in heaven, like we measure time. So, Jack Rudy said it best. He was the pastor of Johnsontown. When a guy named Doug Ledner's funeral, he said, "You might live 70 years past this date. And if you go to heaven, when you get to heaven and you see Doug, Doug will not realize 70 years has passed. He'll just be up there talking to people, and turn around, there you'll be. It'll just be perfectly natural to see you." So they won't be cognizant of the time movement that we're stuck in. That's his belief, and there's validity to that belief, but the Bible doesn't really say for sure. But God, if you remember, God created time for the earth. He broke the day and night and broke into the 24 hours and said you take 8 for work and 8 for sleep and 8 for rest. And, you know, that was for us. That was part of creation. So heaven does not have time in it, like we experience time.
That's actually in line with, like, such scary relativity.
Is it? Yep. Right. Yeah, you're probably right. So we don't understand it all by a long shot, but we do need to let them understand the rapture happened. That's why we are not here. Now,
will it be associated? It's supposed to be associated with war in heaven.
Not yet. Not at the rapture yet.
That's afterwards.
3.5 year mark. 3.5 year mark, there'll be a war. So we need to let whoever is here to read this understand the official story is a lie. Now, the official story, like Diane said, could be science-related. They could relate it to, I've heard some people already talking about the amount of nuclear radiation that's in our atmosphere and the potential effects it could have on humans. And one of the things they're saying is it could make us disappear. Something could happen. So they could just jump on that bandwagon. That could be one of them. I believe that they would love to tie it to global warming somehow. They really would. They'd love to figure out how to blame everybody disappearing on global warming. I personally believe they're going to tie us to UFOs. Either we are aliens and we got beamed home, that's why we didn't fit in. Or UFOs observed us for a while and realized all the Christian people were defective in the head and they eliminated us all. That's what I believe they're going to go with. I can't tell you for sure. I hope I'm not here to find out exactly which story they pick. But it could be one with everybody else. But we need to explain that is not, whatever they said, is not what happened. So in your book that you leave behind, you need to explain that this is the day you've been expecting. And this is the day every Christian has been expecting since the New Testament church was founded. Was this? Because Jesus is the one who said, "I leave to prepare a place for you. And if I leave, I will come back and get you." And he left. So we're waiting on him to come back. There's some allusion to a future city. That's what the Old Testament saints believed in, a future place. They didn't know, they didn't have the concept of a rapture in the Old Testament because there was nothing said along those lines. It's just they looked forward to a new place. They just didn't know what it was going to be. We don't know exactly what it is, but Jesus said there are many mansions in it. And, you know, it's been prepared forever for us, and God knows who's going to be there, so everybody has an address.
If the rapture occurs, what's the timeline for the return and for Elijah and possibly Moses or Enoch?
Well, this kind of ties to John's question. Will we be aware of what's going on Earth necessarily? The tribulation, the horsemen are not loosed until the signing of a peace treaty with Israel. Now that is, if y'all want to look at that real quick, we'll do that and we'll come back. Daniel 9, verse 27. Here's why that should be in here, because they need to understand the near future and the long-term future, but they also need to understand that the world, as they know it, will cease to exist 7 years from the signing of this treaty.
Daniel 9:27.
Yep.
Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consumption which is determined is poured out on the desolate.
There you go. So, this is when it starts. It has to start with that covenant, that peace treaty. They believe that is a peace treaty with Israel. There's reason to believe that because if you go back a little further in that chapter, you'll see that there are 70 weeks appointed to you and your people and your holy city, which is Daniel, the Jews, and Jerusalem. That's who the tribulation is appointed to. It's one of the reasons we don't believe the church will be here for that. True Christians will be raptured pre-trib because the tribulation deals strictly with Israel again. So when Israel rejected Christ and crucified him, the church age started, and God has dealt with the world through the church. All people, Gentile or Jew, did not matter. Whoever is truly saved, that's how God has dealt with the world. At the rapture, he will stop dealing with the world through the church, and he will go right back to dealing directly with Israel. That's why there's 144,000 witnesses from 12,000 from each tribe. That's why they are carrying the torch now, because the church is gone and it's back to the Jews. We have not taken the Jews' place in any part of this at all, except that this is the church age and God deals mainly with the church, not with the Jews. It was always prior to that, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. And even Paul, when he traveled and preached, he preached in a synagogue before he preached to Gentiles. Every time he went on a missionary trip, when he got to town, he talked to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles. Because it was always Jews, then Gentiles. But now, it's the church age. So, things have changed a little bit on that. So what you're going to have, John, in response to your question, is there's a gap somewhere between the rapture and that treaty. Now, it could be a month, it could be 6 months, we don't know. But that chaos that happens after the rapture, whoever steps up to sign this treaty is the person who becomes the Antichrist.
So this is the treaty between Israel and
the rest of the world, probably. This guy will represent a world coalition. Now, even that's a little tricky because some people believe there's 10 kingdoms out of Daniel that are in play. Some people believe the 10 kingdoms are divided up around the world. And some people believe, and it carries a lot of credence, that the 10 kingdoms are confined to the footprint of the Roman Empire. So he could represent just the European Union. And signs a treaty with Israel that says, we won't let Russia attack you anymore. So whatever happens, is that treaty is what starts the clock ticking. However that happens, we don't know for sure. So in that period of time between the rapture and that, we probably won't even be aware that people are still on Earth and, you know, will be.
What's happening, because the only country that can put a 200 million man army is China.
Right.
They're starting to build bases in Iran, and some of the water bodies are starting to dry up.
Right. There's a major problem with China. The battle that happens, it takes place, it's the army that comes in from the north being one, and that they believe is Iran and Russia will be spearheading that, and then the Chinese will be part of that also. But the attack that happens, Israel burns the fuel for 7 years. They burn the weapons for 7 years. Why not 7.5 years? Why not 6.5 years? Why not 10 years? Because the world ends at 7. Once that battle takes place, there's only 7 years of the world left. It says it burns the weapons, but it doesn't. There are.
You know, that seems like nuclear.
Actually, and there are some rules in the Bible that says, I can't remember where they are, but if people find a weapon from that war, they are to call authorities. They're not supposed to mess with the weapon. So it has led people to believe there are nuclear weapons laying on the ground that were unexploded. Because Israel's divinely protected. Everything that's launched in Israel fails. And they're divinely protected. But the treaty, so the treaty could be somebody, like say, from the EU representing Europe, or it could be somebody representing the whole world. But whoever that guy is, he does become the world leader. The whole world looks to him for guidance. In that meantime, we might not know what's going on Earth until the treaty is signed and the scroll comes out. And we, in heaven, Jesus starts breaking the seals. And that's what lets the horsemen out. So at that point, we'll be getting news reports, at least, of Earth. Because there are periods where the martyrs show up under the altar and say, how much longer? And they're told to wait a little bit. It's not done yet.
Is that what prompts the treaties that Israel's protected by God? And so when they fight against them?
What does it prompt? What'd you?
That Israel is protected by God at that point. Is that what starts the treaty? Because when they fight against them, they're
prompting? Well, I don't know. We do know they're divinely protected.
Okay.
We do know that. Why? It's probably what you're thinking there is, well, if we can't defeat them, if we can't beat them, join them. So we need to get on their good side. Full intention to break it later. But it's a way to stabilize a region and launch the Antichrist onto the world stage to make sure that he is on the world stage.
You're talking earth time, but for those in heaven, there isn't.
No, so like I say, but during that period of time
on earth,
before the seal gets broken after the treaty, you know, so you got the rapture happens, you have that seal being broken, we'll be in heaven probably just like somebody who died. We will have our bodies, but we will experience heaven the way your great-grandfather does. You know, you'll just be rejoicing you're in heaven. It's not until the meeting's called and the title deed of earth is brought out with the seven seals on it that we start becoming aware that the tribulation is starting. We probably won't be aware of it till it starts. But we don't know that. We just know what John was able to see. He was in the rapture, and then he saw all the stuff start happening. We do know it takes that war. Now, we could be raptured. We could see the war and be raptured right after. Or we could see the war, and when the treaty signed, we could be raptured right after. But we don't know where we are. We just know prior to the tribulation, we believe we are removed because Daniel clearly says it's for the Jews, not for the church. So that's how God deals with the Jews. He'll deal with the whole world, but he's dealing with the Jews through the Jews. So that verse we read, they probably won't understand that, so we need to be able to explain this covenant is going to be broken at the midway point, 3.5 years. So it's called the 70 weeks of Daniel because we don't have a word for 7 years. Our closest word of counting sevens is we count days and we count them as weeks. Actually, what we are looking at in the tribulation is the last week of the 70 weeks. That lasts 7 years. All of them lasted. Each week lasts 7 years, not 7 days. So it was 63. How'd that work out? Oh, let me see. It was 63 years to the decree, or from the decree. I have to go back and look to be sure. From the decree to rebuild, the ones we're studying now about rebuilding the walls, the one to rebuild the temple started the clock on the 63 years. And then it is continuous after that. It is the next 8 years, would that be right? 63? No. 6 years. The next 6 years, which are seven years apiece is when Jesus entered Jerusalem. And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, that ended the 69 weeks. That started with the decree to rebuild the temple. And that's where the church age came in. And that's what we're on right now. We're in a pause between the 69th and 70th week, is what they call a pause. That makes sense. They won't understand all that. You won't be able to probably explain all that. What they do need to understand is at the 3.5 year mark, things change. You think it's bad for the first 3.5 years? It's going to get worse. And at the 3.5 year mark, Joe, is where the battle takes place. That is Revelation 12. I think it starts in verse 6. If y'all want to look that up. The first six verses, I believe, deal strictly with Satan losing his position in heaven, which he lost his position somewhere after creation because he was able to go tempt Eve.
Yes, Satan's on the top of seven. Satan's thrown out of heaven.
Yep. So the first six verses in Revelation 12, it says... Let me see, what is that? Verse 4. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman. The woman is Israel, by the way. Is ready to devour her child because the child was Jesus. That's what happened shortly after creation. Satan lost his position, took a third of the angels with him. That's where the demons come in. Then... In 7, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought. They finally toss him out of heaven at the 3.5 year mark of the tribulation. Also, along that line is the death of the Antichrist. He is dealt a mortal blow of some kind to the head. And they believe he died, and in order to keep him alive, since Satan can't heal him, Satan indwells that body and makes it and reanimates it, is what he does with him being indwelling that. You gotta remember, Satan can only be one place at a time. So as soon as Satan indwells the Antichrist, everybody will know exactly where Satan is. Right now, Satan could be in this room. He could be across town. He could be around the world. I can tell you where he's not. He's not in hell. He is not there. He's roaming around this earth doing what he wants to do. But once he indwells the Antichrist, he has locked himself into a particular place. Wherever the Antichrist goes, he goes, because the Antichrist is dead without him. So that's at the 3.5 year mark. Satan gets tossed out of heaven. The Antichrist is killed. Satan takes over his body. Satan does not believe that he will ever lose the ability to come in and out of heaven. He thinks that he just lost his position because he was rebellious, but he is powerful enough that he gets to come and go, and he still answers to God, but that he can come and go from heaven. This fight proves to him that heaven is now shut to him. He lost a throne that he was hoping to take. Since he knows he's not getting that throne without a major victory somewhere else, he's going to take over as the Antichrist, and he will demand worship of himself. And he will go into the third temple, and he will desecrate the altar so that Jews cannot sacrifice on it anymore. And they believe he'll sacrifice a pig, which happened. Didn't that happen somewhere before the temple was destroyed in the 70s? Didn't the Maccabees have to reestablish worship?
They did worse than that. After they sacrificed a pig, they sacrificed the priest with the pig on the
Oh, really?
Really desecrated. It was like that from the Maccabees rebellion.
Right.
So they had a pig, and then the people. I have a bad thought. I was thinking of.
You have what?
I was thinking of this. You know, where did we go? I think there's definitely concentration camps. And maybe we're going to think, well, we're going to try taking away the concentration camp.
They They very well could say we were rounded up. And I'll be honest with you, all these warehouse or all these terminals they built everywhere, these big giant buildings with all the tractor trailer roll up doors on them, there's something wrong with that.
FEMA Homeland Security buying all the bullets, their weapons.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a major problem with what our government's setting up for right now. I have dealt with the company that there's a bunch of them. There was one major company that built those distribution centers kind of in the big warehouses around here. Now, they were companies all over the country, but they were basically the ones who had the investment in this area. I've dealt with them. I've talked to their leadership. They only built one at a time, and they didn't build the second one until they were, I think they had to be a half rented, but they might have been a third. I can't remember. But there had to be tenants in the building before they ever broke ground on the next building. And they had to have a pretty good idea this building was still in demand and they were going to need more space. Now they've just put up tons of empty ones. Which,
for the big for lease sign. For,
yeah.
Like the one on the bottom.
Yep, but I have to go back and look at notes to see what company it was, but they were, it's just a construction company. I mean, they were just a group of investors, and they had a construction company that built these things. They would put them out to bid. We would bid the roof. That's how I was able to be around those guys, their superintendents and their vice presidents and all that stuff was through bid meetings. And it wasn't, didn't even think there was anything nefarious at all. I just usually ask people's business models when I, you know, how often do you build one? You know, what's your plan? What do? How do you know it's going to be rented? You know, you all spec build these things with no tenants. How do you know? A lot of market research. They know it's going to be rented, and they're pretty sure it'll all be rented before they even do it. But they will not break ground. And now the guy did tell me, he said, we might have three of them going at the same time. But it would be like Harrisonburg, Pennsylvania, Martinsburg, West Virginia, and Stanton, Virginia. He said, you know, they're not close. They're not close to each other. You know, they're in totally different markets. But, man, they're just piling them up all over the place. There's something wrong with that, in my opinion.
Well, they've got a building on the security at critical points. Nobody ever worried about it. It's everywhere over that truck where you would have an intersection of people.
Right. Yeah, you're right. They're controlling the major land routes. I don't know. So they could say that, but I do believe that they will be put into play at the 3.5-year mark of the tribulation. They will start transporting. They're going to be hunting people all along, but they will actually. I don't think death will come by government until the 3.5-year. That's when he's going to demand worship, and he's going to bring out the guillotines, and if you don't worship, they're going to lock your head off. And it's funny, we quit using guillotines. The world quit using guillotines shortly after the French Revolution. But you know what Hitler's biggest problem was for killing Jews? The expense of a bullet. If he shot each one of them, he had to buy 6 million bullets. And he said, we got to find something cheaper. So they used gas. But the gas is not nearly as publicly scary has cut somebody's head off on stage. So they're pretty sure that will be the method. They'll call you up and say, pledge allegiance to Satan, or to the Antichrist, whoever, whatever his name is, or die.
I'm going to say, come take a shower so we can make sure COVID's not on you.
Yeah, but see, that's really not scary enough. People going in a room and dying, you don't see.
I'm going to take you to the camp. They said, well, you know, COVID coming around.
Yeah.
Just make sure you take a nice shower first to get rid of it.
It could be, but it has to be a public spectacle. But it has to be a public spectacle. That's what Hitler settled for. But they want to control. See, without seeing the death, that's one reason people weren't as horrified over those deaths. They never saw them. And then even the manner of death, it was over, you know, and nobody knows exactly what they went through. The news didn't say exactly what they went through. I'm sure it was horrible. But I bet you most of the world thought they just went to sleep, which is not what happened, but that's probably what most of the world thought. It wasn't that terrible thing. But you watch your neighbor's head get lopped off, or your son's head, or, you know, your dad's head, or whatever. Then they say, what's your answer? Think of how powerful that is. What's that?
They'll say, if you don't pray, I'm going to your wife, your children, your parents are going to be killed.
Yep. Well, there's that story. You can look it up online. A guy does a great job telling it about the... It was a guy in a village. He was a missionary, I think, and they called him and said, you need to recant faith. You need to tell people this is not true, that our God is the true God. And he said no, and they said, well, we're going to kill your children. And sure enough, they cut the head off the children. And he started singing, I have decided to follow Jesus.
Oh, okay.
And then they killed his wife. He was still singing, then they killed him. That's pretty powerful. But imagine it. That's what they did first. They took the kids. Imagine knowing that you're about to have your child killed if you don't recant your faith. You know how easy it's going to be to say, I recant.
Well, that's what they did to the Native Americans. They took the kids away, took them away from the parents and put them in these Catholic schools.
Right.
I say that because I'm a tribal monk. I'm 25% Native American. My mom's are Jewish. Well, my mom's 25% Native American. And that's what they did. They took the kids away to put these Catholic education camps. And that happened to them. We turned up dead.
Yeah, they found carcasses in unmarked graves of those Native Americans. I read an article.
Right, yeah.
And the Catholic Church is part of that. Just like these people are in the Holocaust.
Right.
I think that's a false prophet.
Well, that will be the basis of the false religion.
They've done it before.
Yeah.
They did it with the Native Americans. They did it with my people twice, Native American, and they've got the Jewish people. And the Pope was collecting the teeth, the gold teeth, and melting them. And they melted and made gold bars for the Catholic Church. They had to still the Vatican.
And
they used to give that money back.
Yeah. Yeah, the not this Pope, the one before is the one who resigned out of the blue all of a sudden is the one who is one of his very first thing was released a video and said we all worship the same God. And he had a Catholic, he had a Jew, he had a Muslim, he had a Hindu, and honestly none of those worship the same God we do. We all, the Jews, we say is the same God as ours, but they don't worship the Son of God. So they're still not the same. The Catholics say they worship the Son of God. You know,
they
actually worship Mary.
Mary.
Yeah.
Mother of God.
Right.
Jesus definitely supported Mary. I don't care about
it.
Even the prayers.
Right. All right. We're going to stop there for the study, but that is... what's going to be in the first part of this book. Any questions?